Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening, Thursday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. On today's program, now that Super Tuesday is behind us, we're looking ahead to the Republican presidential campaign. And is there any chance that Santorum and Gingrich have to keep Romney from getting his 1,144 delegates that he needs to lock down the nomination? We'll talk about that. And also, 32 million Americans take statins every day. And now, 25 years after the use began, the FDA issuing new warnings about the cholesterol-lowering drugs. Why now? Well, we will find out. But let's begin. He may be far behind in the race, but he's drawing some passionate support in his run for the U.S. Senate seat now held by Debbie Stabenow. Gary Glenn, he is the president of the American Family Association of Michigan. He's now running for the Republican senatorial nomination, and he joins me now. Gary, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Michael, a privilege. Great to be with you.
Well, let's begin with the numbers. You have won the backing now of 40 Tea Party groups across the state, yet a recent Detroit News WDIV poll found that you are fourth place among the Republican candidates with only about 1% of the vote. Why are you not garnering more support from Republican voters?
Well, it depends on which poll you look at. I've seen it as high as 3 or 4%, which would mean I'm as high as Rick Santorum was 2 months ago. And I think if we've learned anything from this political cycle this year is that the standard rules still have a lot of influence but don't necessarily apply. Who 2 months ago would have thought that Rick Santorum, who they hardly even let respond during the presidential debates, might be fighting for the lead, fighting for the nomination? And I'm not going to have as much money as some of the other candidates, but 2 weeks ago, as you indicated, I won a statewide convention, Michigan for Conservative Senate, a coalition of actually 43 Tea Parties, and I think they said they had another five there that didn't vote, but which are going to participate. So somewhere between 43 and 48 Tea Party organizations that are going to provide me the ground troops that will perform the one function that actually counts 5 months from now, and that is making sure people show up at the polls and are prepared to vote for you. And so we're very happy about it. Been endorsed by Governor Huckabee, by National Right to Work PAC, which is going to be soliciting support for my campaign financially all across the country. And now something that none of the other candidates in this race have, and that is the support of at least 43 Tea Party organizations from all over the state.
Do you think some Republicans might be justified to be maybe uneasy about you going up against Senator Stabenow when it comes to the general election, and voters maybe viewing you as potentially a little extreme?
Yeah, I've got the same problem in that regard as Ronald Reagan had. I'm old enough to remember in the 1979-1980 time period when the Democrats and President Jimmy Carter said they hoped Ronald Reagan would win the Republican nomination because he was, quote, too extreme. He ended up getting 47 states the first time and 49 the next. And I guess you're going to have to tell me, Michael, which positions of mine you would characterize as, quote, unquote, extreme. You know, the things for which I am best known, for example, I'm one of two co-authors of the Marriage Protection Amendment that was on the ballot in 2004. That got 59% of the vote statewide.
Indeed it did. Indeed.
It got majorities in the city limits of Detroit and Flint and Saginaw. Polls indicated at the time that two-thirds of African Americans and two-thirds of union members voted in favor of it. So the thing I'm probably best known for, 160-40, including with the support of overwhelming majorities of two mainstay elements of Debbie Stabenow's own base, African Americans and union members. If she doesn't bring that issue up in the fall election, I certainly will, because I don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that something that passes with 60% of the vote with overwhelming support among African Americans and union members is something you should run on, not from.
Well, when it comes to that issue, I wonder, in terms of your perspective, why focus on same-sex couples and potential gay marriage, which, you know, is not happening necessarily yet. But why is that something that you were specifically interested in and you felt we had to have a constitutional amendment over?
Well, I don't know, Michael. In turn, I didn't say I was going to focus on it. I mean, I think the single statistic that ought to dominate the debate for United States Senate in Michigan in 2012 is the fact that on Debbie Stabenow's watch, in the 10 years she's been in the United States Senate, Michigan has lost 800,000 private sector jobs. That's the worst job loss in America. We have the second worst loss of 18 to 30-year-olds leaving our state, of any state, second worst in the country. We have the lowest growth rate of college-educated population. We rank 50th over the last 50 years in terms of income growth. The bottom five states, with Michigan at the very bottom, the bottom five states that lost the most jobs in the last 10 years were all states in which, for example, it is legal to discriminate against and fire people who choose not to join or financially support a labor union. The top five states for creating jobs in that same time period were all right-to-work states, with Texas creating as many jobs as we lost even during the Depression. And the 2010 census says that two-thirds of those right-to-work states have higher per capita income than Michigan does. So what I'm going to be focusing on is how do we make Michigan and America more competitive in the global marketplace so that we can create the jobs in America and in Michigan that our families need. That's where my focus is going to be. But I'm not going to run away from the social and cultural issues that I have fought for in the past, and surely not going to shy away from any issue that, when it was put to a vote of the people, got 60% of the vote, including major support from African Americans and union members who are mainstay elements of the Democratic Party base.
Well, let's focus on the economic issues. I know you want to eliminate the federal income tax to replace it with a fair tax system, to remove all taxes on investments in the creation of jobs. What is your view right now on the real tax rate our biggest corporations are actually paying? Do you really believe they're paying their fair share?
Well, yes. I mean, the top taxpayers in America pay the overwhelming majority of taxes that are paid to support the government. But if we want to create jobs for the middle class, you know, people who are unemployed and poor don't create jobs. The people who create jobs are those who have the money to invest in constructing new plant sites and creating jobs. That's where jobs come from, primarily from the small business sector and from entrepreneurial investment. The corporate income tax rate in this country, about 39%, which used to be second highest in the world, second only to Japan. But one news report suggested here recently that Japan's about to lower its tax rate, which would make us the highest in the world.
But what are your thoughts?
We're more than double the international average. If we want to be more competitive, not only for the investment of American money, but foreign companies' investment to create jobs in this country, we've got to become more competitive.
Do you not believe these companies, the major corporations we have, are using major loopholes, though, to dramatically lower their tax rates?
Well, yes, in some cases I'm sure they are. What I propose in the ideal would be a fair tax, which means you would have a federal consumption tax paid at the point of purchase, just like our state sales tax. There'd be no exemptions to that. So there'd be no ability by anybody, corporate or individual, to be able not to pay their taxes. It would make every foreign tourist an American taxpayer. Every illegal alien would be an American taxpayer. Every drug dealer and prostitute would become an American taxpayer. You know they're not claiming their income now and paying income tax. And if we, in fact, were able to have a tax system like that and totally eliminate the personal income tax and payroll tax and corporate income tax, the United States of America would become a job vacuum. We would be sucking in investment from American and foreign companies around the world. They'd all put their plant sites in the United States. They'd create millions of new jobs that we desperately need for our family in this country. Instead of being in the posture that we are now, where we can't compete for investment like that because our tax rate on corporations is so high compared to the rest of the world.
Is this similar then to the ideas that maybe Mitt Romney and the rest of the presidential Republican candidates have when it comes to lowering the tax rate?
Well, it's probably closest, even though the fair tax would take it further. Of the ones I'm familiar with, it's probably closest to Rick Santorum's proposal that you eliminate all corporate income tax on all manufacturing. He limits it to manufacturers. I'd say, ideally, we should just eliminate the federal corporate income tax, personal income tax, payroll tax completely, as well as the inheritance tax and the capital gains tax, and replace it with a tax, the fair tax. And if your listeners don't know how that works, they ought to look it up, fairtax.org. And the best thing I like about it, it would no longer be any of the federal government's business how much you earn. And that black cloud that hangs over every American's head, did I screw up? Am I going to get audited? Am I going to be guilty till I can prove myself innocent? That doesn't have to be part of the American experience for our children and grandchildren, maybe even our lifetimes, if we've got enough votes in the House and Senate to make that kind of dramatic tax reform that I think would be best for our country and our economy.